The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, the Reverend Alex Easley, your rector and my fiance, teased me so hard when I bought this book. I bought it from Amazon not too long ago. It's called Vita Patrium, The Life of the Fathers. I think she teased me, maybe, because she thought it was more fathers than mothers, but there are mothers in here too, and it's this book about 1,400 years old by St. Gregory of Tours, who was a saint who lived in Tours, Gaul at the time, France now, where a whole bunch of people came. It wasn't even a city yet. It was just a bunch of monastics, ascetics, living out in the wilderness. They had gathered around the place where St. Martin of Tours had been buried. Now, the reason I really think that the Reverend Alex was teasing me was because of how much I pay for this book. It looks like it's 1,400 years old. It's actually not that old, but it is pretty old. This was the newest copy I could get for under $400. It still cost almost $100 just for this because it's out of print. But I'm really glad that I did, because in preparation for All Saints Day, I wanted to open this book by St. Gregory of Tours, because what he wrote this book for was as a record of all the people who had come to live around Tours, all the people who had strived in their lives of prayer and holiness, and the things that they did. And so I found this great saint, Saint Monegunde. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm not 100% sure. She was, by all accounts, a wonderful woman from birth, right? She had a happy life, a joyful childhood. She grew up in the church, was faithful. She got married and was very happily married, and pretty soon, as happened, she had two little baby girls. They grew up a little ways, and then, unfortunately, as almost always happens in the lives of these saints, tragedy struck her, right? A fever came upon her children, her two little girls, and they unfortunately died. They both died right about the same time. And it was this that led her to sort of a tearful life of prayer. She sought God more strongly and strongly throughout her life because of this tragedy that had happened to her. Eventually, she found herself drawn to the ascetic life. She left her husband. He actually came and kidnapped her back once, but she like walked barefoot across all of Europe to return to the little cell that she built for herself in the woods. And she built this cell, or had built for her, and spent all of her time there praying, and praying for the people who would come to her. She had a little servant girl who would bring her a tiny amount of flour every week, and that's what she would live off of. And as would happen in the lives of these saints, right? People would start coming to her. People started coming to her just because she was someone who had devoted her life to prayer and praise, right? And ask her advice on things. And now, there are different kinds of saints, right? There are healers. There are people who sacrifice. There are martyrs, just like we sung in the song we just sung. She ended up being a healer. Not really on purpose, but she found that as people were coming to her, she would pray for them. She would praise God in their midst. She would bless them with the oil that she was supposed to be using for her bread. She would give up her own food to bless them. And she would share with them the life she was living. And in that moment of prayer, of praise, right, of blessing, they would be healed. And so more people started coming. There would be lines outside of her doors, right? People who were blind, people who were sick, people who had suffered, you know, demons and all these kinds of things, tormented by the things they had done. They would come to her. They would come to her. And it was said that any time someone came into her cell and told them what they wanted to be prayed for, told them what their problem was, she would immediately throw herself on the ground, right, in prayer to God for them, for them. And so people started seeking the blessings she would give, right? Because we all know, right, it wasn't actually that much different 1,400 years ago than it is today. We hear a lot about, you know, we have a lot of technology, and we have a lot we have a lot of things to serve our needs. And so we have life, we think, a lot easier than we did back in those days. But fundamentally, spiritually, the problem is the same, right? Because we live in a world in which good does not always produce good, right? You do a good thing, you should get something good in return. You do a bad thing, you should get something bad in return, right? That's justice. That's what we want to see. But when we look at life, and I don't probably have to tell all of you this, you probably know from your life itself, sometimes you do a good thing and it does not get good in return. Sometimes you do a bad thing and it does not get bad in return. We live in a world that has great suffering, that has great muckiness in it, right? It's dirty and it's messy and it's disordered. It's chaos, right? And we try and go out there and live according to an order, according to a law, according to a goodness. And yet, we fail and we fall. And so these people would come to her with that in their minds. They're like, I'm blind, but who sinned, you know, my father or me, to make this happen? Why do I deserve this? They come to her with the question, is it even worth it to keep going, right? In a world that makes so little sense, is it worth it in such a world of chaos? And she would say, with her body and her prayers, she would say, yes, right? She would make visible to them God's presence. She would say, I'm going to give thanks to God in this moment in which you are blind for no reason. And somehow that thanksgiving, that prayer, that praise, and that blessing, that yes, it is worth it. Yes, there is something greater. Healed them. That healed them. So, like, blessing becomes really, really important for the saints. And this is why I chose her to tell you about. I'm going to read you, like, a little tiny thing. It's not a healing story. It's actually a story from when she was about to die. And, like, she was now very old and had been seeing people and healing them and praying for them for a long time. And the nuns that had gathered around her as their leader were really, really upset. They said, to whom are you? Are you guys ready for story time? Is that okay? Yeah, okay, cool. To whom are you leaving us, Holy Mother? To whom are you entrusting us, who you have gathered here to keep God in mind? And she said to them, while shedding a few tears, if you preserve peace and holiness, God will protect you. And you will have the great bishop, Saint Martin, the patron saint of that area, as your shepherd. As for me, I will not go away from you, for if you call upon me, I will be in your hearts. That was not good enough. So they implored her, saying, but many of the sick will come to you, asking to receive your blessing, your healing blessing. And what will we do when it comes to pass that you're not here anymore? We'll put them out in confusion when we no longer see your face. So we beg you, they asked her, for the time when you go away from us, to agree to at least bless oil and salt, which we can give to the sick who will seek a blessing, right? And so then she blessed for them the oil and the salt and gave it back to them, and they kept that with greatest care. And then it says, the most blessed one died in peace. Blessing. Blessing is the thing that ties the lives of the saints all together. It's so important. This is what people have been seeking after, like whenever they go to them. It's so important in their minds that it's like it's infectious, right? They're like, well, just put your blessing on this salt and this oil and we'll keep that, and then we'll be able to pass it along. In a way, she demonstrates for us the truth that saints, all the saints, the line that draws through all of their stories, are those who carry the blessing of God into godlessness, right? Who carry the light into the darkness, right? Who carry God's word into the chaos and build something true out of it. That's what a saint is, the one who carries the blessing. And so what is a blessing, you know? Well, we go back to Genesis, for instance, where the first blessing is. God is creating, and he speaks into creation all the things, right? All the things, all the swimming things. He speaks the flying things, the growing things. He sees them. He sees them, and he says, these are good. And what is he saying there? He's good, right? Who's good? God is good. So he's saying, these are like me. These are like me in the world. They're carrying a little piece of who I am into this world. These are good. But that's not the blessing. Then comes the blessing. Then he blesses them, saying that they are good, and says, go, be fruitful and multiply, right? Go, little swimmy things. Go make more of yourselves. You're good. You're showing a little piece of God in this world. Go flying things. Go growing things. Grow, 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 right? That's the blessing, to go. To go and to show God's presence in the world. And then he makes a very special creature, right? Us, human beings. And yay, we are very good, right? We really show forth the image of God in his creation. And we have a special task, right? It's like a meta task. Everything shows forth God's goodness. Our job is to order it and make sure it keeps showing it, right? We don't just show God's presence. We, like, live it. And we help other things and other people live it too. And so, of course, the story continues. Bad stuff happens. We enter into a world in which human beings are not all doing that thing, right? For various reasons, snakes, fruit, we all remember that. And God again chooses, right? He calls out one person, Abraham, one person out of the whole world. And then he blesses him too. He gives another blessing. The blessing that from him will come a people who will draw all people back to that first blessing. All people back to that first call are humanity, showing God to be in the world. And now it's harder, right? Now it's harder because it doesn't look like God is always in the world. Because now there are earthquakes and famines and people die. There's suffering. There's chaos. And yet he gives another blessing that we can go and call people back to the paradise from which we came. And so blessing is what, right? Blessing is the ability to go and carry the presence of God into the world. And the blessing of Christians, right? I mean, like, we're fulfillments of Abraham's blessing. Here we are, look around. All these Gentiles hanging out with the God of Abraham on a Sunday morning. like, good job, Abraham, blessing fulfilled. We can carry that blessing out to people too. Again, bringing people back into that relationship, making people see in the lowest point of their lives where God appears to be totally unpresent, that in fact, God does exist. God is there. There is an order that can redeem that chaos. Okay, and so in the gospel today, right, God is talking about this blessing finally, right? We get a reading from the Sermon on the Mount, or half of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the blesseds, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's all the blessings. The woes are part of it too, but that's the other half of the sermon. We didn't hear that today, so we don't care about that. Today we care about the blessing, because we often think about this, this passage as meaning, like, go be poor in spirit, right? Or go mourn, or go be meek, or go hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? Like, it's like, blessed are the peacemakers, therefore you should be a peacemaker. But that's not actually what he's saying, right? He's coming into this world that is confused and can't always see God or good clearly. And he's saying, there it is, right? If you want to see God, look at the peacemakers. If you want to see God, look at those who are mourning, and you will see something of what it is like to be God. If you want to see God, look at those who are poor in spirit, right? Those who are struggling to believe, and you will see what it is like to be God. And then he does address us. He does give us, everyone, his listeners, his disciples, something to do, right? But not till the end. He says, finally, blessed are you. At the last one, he says, blessed are you. When people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, right? Because we aren't always peacemakers. We want to be, but sometimes we're not making peace. We aren't always meek. We want to be, but sometimes we're putting ourselves way before others, right? We want to be these things, but we can't. So he gives us a way. And the way is to make visible God in the places where people cannot see God, right? He mentions two things, right? On my account, in my name, when you pray, when you praise, when you bless, in the very places that need prayer, praise and blessing, and when you have to suffer for it, right? When that is a place in which people are like, no, God is not in that place. It's when we pray and we praise and we bless God in the very depths of the human experience where people are going to be like, no, God is not in that place. And so that's our calling, right? And that's our gift. And so now what, right? Because we are all baptized into our own sainthood. You know, we have Saint Mundegunde, we have Saint Andrew, we have Saint Mary, we have all the saints that go marching in. But we are also all baptized into our own sainthood. We are all Saint Alex and Saint Eric and Saint Mark and Saint Cindy and everyone else, right? We are given the gift to do exactly that, which is pray and praise, bless and share in the world around us, the world of chaos. And so as a reminder of that, it just so happens we are baptizing two new members into the body of Christ today. And so as is tradition at a wedding, you talk to like the people getting married. I'm going to address this to the two people being baptized. Clara and Colin, would you stand up real quick? And this is for you. Because the good news for all of us is that we can carry the light into the darkness. We are empowered to carry the law into the chaos. And my friends, no, stay standing up. This is for y'all, I promise. But the good news for you guys, right? And how old are you? 7? 8? 8 and 6. The good news for y'all is, you know, Jesus never gets old, and you're never too young for this calling. Like, you guys too, even at your age, you don't have to be grown-ups in order to pray in a time when people are stressed out and angry. You don't have to be a grown-up to bless people and tell them, remind them that they're made in the image of God, that they're loved. You don't have to be a grown-up to participate in this gift that you guys are going to receive tonight. And so that's all I had for you. But for the rest of us, right, what do we do? Because we're receiving this gift of 2 new signs of God on earth today. And for us, it's just, you know, let's be worthy of that gift, right? Because we too can pray, can praise, can bless. We too can invite people into the life that Christ gives us, his own life, of making God known again in the world.